Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all he did. He just loved him. He loved Grace.
The pastor, I guess you would say, he was just lost in the house.
The elder son was lost in the house.
He was. Yeah.
Professor.
But the father said that all that I have is yours. He didn't need to. The kid wanted it, he could have had it.
You know?
Yeah.
So is ours.
Wait, he's whispering over
there. It's also interesting. Matt Roberge actually pointed this out to me. He said, look at what the older brother says about the younger brother, and then look about what the text says about the younger brother. The younger brother lived in riotous living or whatever.
Yeah.
But the older brother's like, oh, he's been with harlots and blah blah blah. So yeah. What does that say about like where the older brother's thinking was?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
How did he know that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How did you know?
He embellished it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he made it worse than what it was, maybe.
Yeah.
Because you're right. He didn't say that. He didn't. Beginning of the parable, he added the garbage to it, right? Because he said he devoured your living with harlots. You know, it's like, yeah. So anyway, good point. Yes, sir.
This son of yours.
Yeah, not
this
my brother.
No connection.
Yes,
no
right.
Connection.
Yeah. So the point is. The church has to learn grace and enjoy the party. This is a grace festival. And in the spirit, there's liberty.
Wow.
We can have a sense of humor. We can enjoy each other. We can, you know, the life of Christ is here, right? Okay, another one, Alan.
Jake, we love George.
You mentioned the son that was home, the good son, right? He should have known better. He's been there. He went to every service. He heard every sermon. And you said that the dad should have just came out and slapped him silly, you know, like, come back to your senses. You should know this. And sometimes that happens, you know, when you want to bring a message to someone, but they should have known. Like, could that be like lack of grace? Like you thinking that that person should know, like a child of yours, they should know better. Yeah. They're raised by you. They know everything that you said. You know.
If you don't know the Father though, which you didn't, you don't know grace. Mm-hmm. That comes to it. You know, he didn't know. Isaiah 1:3, the ox knows its master, but my people don't know. They don't know me, you know. And that's a sad thing, because what we're trying to do, you know, at least at Greater Grace, what we're trying to do in our ministry is to, you know, get us to know God more. You know, like Paul said, you know, just before he's dying, I want to know you.
Hmm.
You know, and how do we get to know him? And you know, it's I want to know him the way he knows me. You know, how you know he knows me with this amazing love and forgiveness and everything else. I don't show that though to other people, so it's like I don't know him either. You know, and we can get to know him so much more. You know, every day. You know, and I like even how Kelly addressed it, you know, with this overall peace, right, that you can have in the situation or in the storm or in the circumstance, and it even goes back to John with you know, Martha and Mary, right, and what did she say? She said, "If you would have been here, right, if you would have only been here," and it's like, you know, I don't like how this circumstance turned out.
Right.
I don't like how this turned out. So what happens when you don't like the way something turns out? You then blame others. You know, I'm going to shift the blame now over to you because I don't like the way this turned out in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way this problem turned out. So it's so much easier to say if, and then I'm going to blame you because of it. Mm. You know, you're going to become the focus of that problem, that I'm not receiving this peace in this circumstance. Mm. But, yeah, so we need to know him. And, you know, that's amazing how he dealt with Israel when he turned to the animal of the ox. You know, the ox knows his master, knows the one that controls him, knows the one. But you don't know me, mm. You know. We don't know, you know, even Moses, you know, when he said, you know, show me your face, God said, I'll allow you to see the backside, which, you know, really spoke of judgment and law. But there's so much more that God wants to show and reveal himself to us to get to know, you know, to get to know him more. Hi.
That son was in the natural.
Yes. Yes.
The natural man cannot understand the things of God. And,
carnal thinking, carnal, yeah.
14, cannot understand God. Can't understand the kingdom and the grace. And
he's still a son, though. He's still a son, but he's carnal. He's living, right. He's living carnal, yeah. Which is enemy, anyway, of God, yeah.
Yeah, when you're in a natural, you're shut off of the spiritual. You don't want to hear.
Yes, he is. Yes, Evan, Pastor McFarland.
Oh, it's okay. He's not waiting.
Oh. You won't get the mic back. No.
Oh, jeez.
So I wanted to, what Lino was asking, I think the way I'm thinking of it is, did the father have grace toward his son when he was expecting him to basically know word, to know that he needs to be waiting with open arms for his brother? Did the father show him grace when he was like, yeah, he taught him. I understood what the gentleman was saying, and I love that aspect, but was he showing his older son grace as well? Because maybe through our, how can I say it, expectancy of our children knowing the word, and they should be following the word as we expect them to, we don't show them grace because we feel... Yeah, like we feel like they should know, they should do it. They should. I don't need to, you know. So did he show him grace? Was it okay that he wasn't, like with open arms for him? Like, yeah. Why did he run to the younger son?
Verse 31, it says, "All that I have is yours." That's the full expression, I think, of grace. All that I have is yours, and but he didn't know it though. You know, the son couldn't perceive it. That's verse 31.
I think the whole point there, like, what you're getting.
What's your head there? Right?
Yeah,
that's my children.
The whole point that you've been really been talking about all the time, and I can see that theme about being connected and having that relationship. You said that oldest son. I mean, that was powerful when you brought that up about him going to the servant, because he probably had a particular relationship with the servant. You could talk to him, but he didn't have that intimate.
He went to his servant.
He didn't have that intimate relationship.
What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have that to be able to go to his father and talk to him about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, but the young lady's comment is a good one, which is,
you
think about it this way. You think about God made the sun. The sun comes up every day and goes down every day. And to everybody on the earth, that we have different ways of looking at that, we say, yeah, sun comes up and goes down. What's the big deal? The other one is, you know, wow, God gives us another day.
Wow.
But so, in other words, like, The father was there saying, I've done a lot for you, but he didn't see that. You know what I mean? He didn't realize like what the father had to have given him and what he did. So in a way, we're all limited. Even when we are raising our children, we could be, they may not know what grace is. They may not get it. You know, here's a good example. Listen to this. This is a little story. Very simple. I'm at my kitchen. I mean, we're at our dinner table. Let's make up a story. You know, I'm the dad, five kids, and we're having dinner. And I said, just kids, I want you to know, Dad and Mom, we love you. We love you very much. And no matter what happens in your life, we're going to be there for you. You know, we want you to go do well in school. But if you fail in school, we want you to come to us. And we're going to talk it, and we're going to help you. If any of you in the future, if something happens and you ever end up in prison, I will be there for you, you know. Like to have that talk at a dinner table, right? That would be interesting. The young lady is saying, did the father express to the elder son that spirit of grace and that communication?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're saying, yeah, in the story, it seems that he did his best, but he didn't get it. Okay. He didn't have a relationship with that. So, like, change the story a little more. I got a kitchen table, five kids, and this is what I say. Kids, I want you to know your mother and I love you very much, and you're always going to be in our family, except if you really mess up and you really bring shame on this family, it's over. If you ever end up in prison, forget it. I'll never see you. Oh, it's over. I disown you. Okay? Mm. Which story is better? You know, the first one. But Christians that believe God, salvation, you can lose your salvation, are believing in the second story.
That's right.
And Christians that believe, or even people that walk on the face of the earth, that believe that God is like the second story, are the people that are afraid of him.
Mm.
And they say, you know, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to get involved. Because I know he's like that. You know? Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And the purpose of your life and my life is to express that he's like the first story.
Wow.
And that's the story that everybody in this room, you know it's supposed to be like that. Because if you're in a family, you know you would like your dad to say that.
Right.
Kids, your mom and dad love you. No matter what happens in your life, we're going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. Nothing will separate us from you. Our family is our family, and we love you no matter what happens.
Yeah.
God is good, this is the way God is, and we love you, and this is the way we think, and this is in our heart, and this is how we think and live. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Then the kids, watch what will happen. Kid goes out, gets in trouble in the eighth grade. He comes home, he goes, man, I got in trouble today. They're sitting at the table. The father said, how are you kids doing today? You know, yeah, okay. And the kid in trouble goes, and then he goes, you know, really? Is it really okay? There's a possibility that the kid will say, Dad, I didn't get in trouble today. But if you go to story number two, what's the kid going to say?
It's all good.
All good. Clean as a whistle. Man, am I doing good. I'm bringing home the bacon. Yeah, he's lying. And he's afraid of his dad. And he doesn't understand the whole thing. And he doesn't know what love is. And he's hiding. And he gets into more trouble. And that's a bad story. What is the Christian life about? If we communicate that kind of thing to Christians. Mm. Christians are to say, Dad, I got in trouble. Messed up. Seven times a day. And the father says, thanks, and well, listen, this is a family, put it on the table. We're talking about it. I am with you. I never forsake you, never leave you. I am for you. I am God. I'm for you. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's the kind of life that I grew up in this church. I mean, I didn't grow up. I was a young guy when I started to come into it. And it's kept me for more than 40 years, and I love it. And I'm like the guy who's making merry in the house, saying we're all goofballs. Hallelujah. God is good to us. I messed up all, you know, my whole life is a story about, but my father is a good man and a gracious man. Isn't that good?
Amen. I think
when that... what's that?
When that prodigal...
I'm sorry, couldn't
when
you...
When that prodigal saw his father coming, and, knowing what he'd done and where he'd come from, and he was at his lowest point, when he experienced that grace and that love that said nothing about anything that he'd done, he had no knowledge of him after the flesh at all, but was pure grace.
Yeah.
And that was, like Pastor Jeff said, that was like written in his heart indelibly and eternally. And he will always treasure that.
Yeah.
You know, he'll never forget that experience.
Mm.
And that's the heart of the Father. Always grace.
Pastor Jeff and I, we went and did a little soul winning, and we were able to talk with a young girl and her father, and she prayed to receive Christ. The thing I was thinking about while we're talking here is that, you know, we prayed with her, we showed her some scriptures, I gave her a little Gospel of John, and they went their way, and we went our ways, but Pastor Jeff and I hugged each other, and we're doing a little dance in the parking lot, and I was like...
Let's go to the cameras.
I'm way better at dancing than he is.
We were, you know, like, we were, like, more excited about it than she was. And I was thinking about, you know, Kathy, you had asked that question way at the beginning. And that's how kind of God, I think, is with us. He knows the value of what has happened in our lives far more than we do. And so he gets excited about... our growth, our progress, our rebounding, our fellowship with Him. And, you know, like I was thinking of this verse in Zephaniah 3. It says in verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. And then it says, He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee. Over you is singing.
Yeah.
And I've often just gotten, you know, released by thinking about, you know, how God sings about me. You know, and as crazy as that, we're always thinking about how we should sing to God, and we should pray to God, and we should do all this stuff and so forth. But God is up there rejoicing over us, we're singing. He's kind of like, you know, I'm a grandparent, and my wife and I can't wait to see the next thing that our grandson has learned to do, or he's walking now. He walked today. He took 3 steps. You know, we get really excited about every little. Get every little detail in his life. And I think God's like that towards us. He rejoices over what we would be discouraged about. He says, wow, look at him.
And he rejoices over us, and he sings about us. You know, and to me, that's just I'll never forget dancing with Pastor Jeff.
Oh, that sounds like a movie. Name it your next song.
Inspiration.
As you guys were sharing last week on or Wednesday, we've been talking about body life in seven footsteps, and I'm thinking in 2 Corinthians. You know how it ends. You know, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one suffers, we all suffer. And the message of the grace was that, and seeing his brother, you know, going through this experience, he witnessed the gospel. He witnessed grace. He witnessed good news, even if it wasn't directly towards him, because they're of the same body and the same family.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, we may question whether or not, but that was evidence, you know, to him that his father would love him if he failed or stumbled. He would love him with that kind of love. And you know, he missed out on that because of his own heart and heart. You know, so, you know, going back to the, did he receive the gospel? He received the gospel, one in his father and how he corrected him. He didn't, correction in Hebrews 12 is a sign that you are a son. It's not that you're illegitimate. It's that you are actually loved and you're his child. So you mix that in one, and then you see your brother coming in. And if that was me, he would have had that same grace.
Mm. Well, that's really good. Let's say it this way. One time I was in Bible school, and I was in the, you know, in one of the rows there, and we did a little worship in the beginning. And some brothers were there raising their hands and worshiping, and I didn't feel like that. Like I felt maybe a little bit discouraged, or I was just there. And then I had this attitude. Oh, they are, you know, they are blessed, you know. Mm-hmm. They are spirit-filled, and they are blessed, and I am not. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So now, so then this is just what Michael said, or Keith said, which is, you know what? I could say, wow, God has blessed those brothers and sisters that are worshiping God. That's beautiful. And that same grace is mine.
Wow.
That same favor that they have is the favor that I have. So then I say, thank you, Lord, you know. Thank you for what you're doing for them and how you're blessing them. And that's the same because we all have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus.
And there's describing the Gentiles, you know, again. You know, the Pharisees looking at these people, you know.
Judging the Gentiles or the sinners or the Pharisees are judging. They're looking down at them. Same with the elder brother. His brother comes home like, hello?
Yeah.
Like, don't you realize the kind of grace your dad has? And that you should process it, not like us and them. You know, or in that Bible college class where I kind of learned this lesson. Like, my brothers are having a great time. It's like, who do they think they are? They're spiritual. Why are they raising their hands and worshiping God? It's like, what is it? Who are they? What's up? Okay, so that spirit can't be in the church.
That's right.
That spirit is wrong. That's the elder brother spirit. And that's in this church, in this heart, in this person. I have the capability of that. But I don't allow it to happen because I want to be strong in grace. And the grace that you have is the same grace that I have. And if you've been forgiven, I know I have also. And if you are greatly loved and spirit-filled, so am I, given the same grace. So together we have a party.
Yeah.
We say, well, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. It's not them. It's that the Lord did it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yes. Yes.
You know what? If you think about the father, the son, the prodigal thought about his father, and he said, the way that the father treated the servants,
yes.
Oh,
the way he treated his servants was beyond, you know, the normal. So his father was gracious to his servants.
And the servants knew the father better.
Yes.
Yeah, let me just go be like a servant.
Yeah. Let me be like a servant. I'll be treated good.
We've been beaten up on the old one, by the what, you know, he didn't know him either.
No, but he
let me go back and be a slave, and now you know.
Because he knew that he knew the father was gracious to somebody that wasn't even related.
Yes.
I think they were just familiar.
So good. Yeah.
Familiar.
So it all falls down to where Mary and the alabaster box. Where Jesus explains where those that sin much in return love much, because she was forgiven much. But even the one that was forgiven little still received the same grace. That's the two brothers.
Yeah.
This also brought my attention to the wedding banquet. You know, it shares that similarity where they went out and with the invitation, you know, to all these people, and they're like, okay, I'm working, or I got to do this, or I got to do that, and God calls, you know, the sick, you know, the marginalized, the down and out, and, you know, and they're the ones that respond to the invitation. So I think, you know, we all have this invitation, you know, whether we're sons, whether we're, you know, the marginalized and down out, whether we're the servant, to come and get to know the Father. So,
I think one thing you see is even how we read the story is we read in the concept of the Father that we have. We read in the theology that we have. If you actually look at the Father's words, he doesn't say, you're wrong. And he doesn't say, you could have had a kid at any time. He just says, you're my son. All that I have is yours. Won't you rejoice with us? This is right. So he doesn't ever say, like, you're wrong. But, like, sometimes we're reading the story to ourselves and we're like, oh, it sounds like the Father's scolding him. But if you actually read the words, he's not.
Right. Right.
See, you guys are looking tired. You want to go eat again and then come back? we'll heat it right back up again.
Thanks for coming. Thank you. Super.
Christy, we're going to be here for a while.
Remember, 9 o'clock, tomorrow's breakfast, 10 o'clock, service.
10 o'clock on the dock, guys. Hey,
yeah, you
time.
Will start, yeah.
Oh, breakfast is at 9.
Breakfast is at 9, yes.
I'm making eggs.
You all
right? Yes. Right? Scrambled with eggs and cheese.
Boy, we've been eating a lot.
Welcome to Miami.
Isaac, do you know where you guys are staying? Okay, you're going back to... Okay.
Unless you want to keep us, that's okay.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. Go back to Pastor Jeff.
Okay. I mean, let's see. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you...
Is the ride long?
Yeah, the ride's long. But what time do you come in the morning, Pastor?
We're going to be here at 9, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're eating.
9.
Oh, okay.
We're eating at 9. Unless we eat and get here. We start at 10, though.
We're starting at 10.
Yeah, all right.
We got a crew here.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking care of them.
Yeah, thank you.
That's amazing.
Oh, we're putting the work.
You got to do the gardening.
Yeah.
Gardening.
You're going to be out with you.
Plow the fields. Okay, go ahead.
So I have one thing I want to share that relates to that, and then I have a question. Okay. So in Titus, Titus 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Everyone.
Good.
very good point. That addresses the young lady's point, yeah. Doesn't it? The grace of God. Mm-hmm. And my point was the sun comes up every day. You know, we eat strawberries, we eat fish, we breathe air. This is grace. You know, God is a God of all grace. But you could be blind to it. But the Father, we are believing in the parable, did manifest grace to the elder son, but he didn't see it. But like in Titus 2, grace has appeared unto all men. Okay, go ahead.
And then I have a question.
Okay.
Maybe
$3.
Yeah. Personal for you.
Oh, like, for me?
I want to ask something.
No personal questions.
Relating to,
no,
you know.
Personal. Relating.
So this is my first time meeting you, and okay. I've heard wonderful things about you.
Okay.
But I just
don't tell. I judge a book by its cover.
Well, I just
okay?
know you're wonderful, but I don't really know
what that means.
What that means? No. No, I don't know how you got to this ministry. I don't know how.
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
No worry. You want to know the long story or the short story?
It doesn't matter. I'm all ears.
Oh. Okay,
I'm a good listener.
Okay. So I'm from New York State. I was studying in a college in Plattsburgh, New York, 1971 in October, a student came to me and told me that I needed to receive Christ. I did, and it really... I got peace, you know. I got peace for 2 days. And then it left.
How's it come back?
I was waiting for it to come back. Again, so it was so awesome. I had peace, you know. It was really amazing. So then I started to pursue God in my heart. I went to a Pentecostal church for a few months on the campus. I left the campus. I went to Maine that summer. I met Dr. Stevens. He started a Bible college, and I went to that Bible college. I left school, and I went to the Bible college for 3 years. And it was the knowledge of the Bible I was interested in. I wanted to learn the Bible and the theology and also, I was lost. I was lost and I got saved. And I was very interested in, like, maybe I could help people find Christ, you know. If I find Christ, maybe I could help others to find Christ. And so it was in my heart to, you know. So that's the story.
How did you end up in Baltimore?
And when I graduated from Bible school, I went to Finland as a missionary. I lived there 6 years, planted church and Bible school. We started Bible school and so on. We did mission work, and that's going on. It's been growing for 40 years. What we started over there is still going on. Yeah, that's amazing. So I go there once or twice a year. Then I came back from, when I moved to Sweden, I lived in Sweden and was pastoring there, Bible Speaks Church, for some months. Then I moved back to Massachusetts. I was there 9 years. And then in Baltimore with Dr. Stevens. Then 1990, when the communism ended, I moved to Hungary to do the same thing there, preach the gospel, start a church. And that's still going on. So that was 1990. And that's just glory to God for that. Because that's the word of God.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
That's where Eurocon is.
Yeah, that's where we do a conference every year in Budapest, yeah.
So you preach in Baltimore?
Yeah.
You're the head pastor, right?
Yeah.
So did you file... Like, who's the founder of that church?
Pastor Stevens. Yeah.
Okay.
So Pastor Stevens, when he started the Bible College in May 1972, the first class was about 30 people, and I was in that class.
First graduating class
in 1975. And so I was discipled by him, taught by him. I learned virtually everything I know about the ministry from his... ministry and the teachers with him.
you know.
She should see those tapes that we used to see every week.
Yeah.
This will get a better idea.
Then when he, in 2003, I was living in Hungary, and he asked me if I would come back to Baltimore and help them because he had Alzheimer's and he had weakness and he was older and he needed help. So 2005, he bowed out, but 2005 there was a transition and I became the pastor there.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's been now last, what is that, 11 or 12 years? Yeah, so that's cool.
Okay, and since my last question is, at what age did you find Jesus?
19. I'm 65 now.
No way. You
don't
look 65.
Really? 64?
No, you look younger.
No, thank you.
Well, I just started Bible college.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I started seven footsteps.
Do you have a little like Trinidad accent or something? I don't know.
Sorry?
Do you have a little Trinidad or Puerto Rican?
No, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm just
okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. The Caribbean idea has like different accents and stuff. I'm not sure.
I'm from Miami.
Okay.
Well, so
I'm worried, yes.
Pastor Shalom, since Chrissy switched up the
rap
a little bit, my sister caused me to stumble. But I see that most of us here right now are from Miami. I just wanted to see if you can speak directly to us as a church, as far as, you know, giving us some kind of insight, encouragement, whatever you may have.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been with you, Keith, yesterday and today. I'm impressed, like with Pastor yourself, and you know the content. I think content is amazing. Because then you can tend the sheep, feed the sheep, be with people, help them, lead them, encourage them. So your team, you know, we're as a team, we're connected and we feel like God. Like when it's like your healthy body. If this church is like you have an immune system because you have a healthy body, then when troubles come, you survive. Another thing about health is that when somebody comes in, the health comes to them. And they may be sick, you know, but they get healthy because you are healthy. You know, that's cool. Like, you know. So I would say if the church is, you know, we are fed and we are being cared for by God, we're healthy then, we have a good immune system, we can fight disease. When we have troubles, we can walk through them. And then also we reproduce healthy people. When healthy, you have a healthy church and people that are sick come into it, they can get healthy.
Miss Elaine back there.
Miss Elaine back there.
She was the first person
on the peninsula.
In Miami.
Really?
Yep. And how I find this church is not back. I just came back from vacation. I was coming from the mall.
Yes.
I saw the sign, and there was a gentleman playing the guitar. He was fixing something, and I says to him, is there a church here? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, my Lord, I've been praying for a church for you to go close by. So I promised him that I would come to church Sunday, but I didn't come back. I didn't come to church that Sunday. So the following Sunday, I came to church, and I go a lot, and God had riches blessed me. God had blessed me abundantly from that day. I've seen God blessing. I cannot even explain God blessing.
Amen. So,
what?
Okay, I think we can
wrap it up.
Yeah,
okay. Wrap up the wrap.
Relieve our babysitter. Okay, so tomorrow morning, and tomorrow's going to be one.